We are happy to have with us this hour actress and TV talk show host and author, Sarah Gilbert. You may see her now on The Talk on CBS. You probably remember her as Darlene, Roseanne's daughter on the popular TV show. We will talk with her about another one of her passions, the environment, and we will find out how we can make some small changes that can result in big differences in our health and the health of the planet. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Sarah will give us some advice that she has learned about being as green as we can be without freaking out over it all, and that she wrote about in her new book, The Imperfect Environmentalist. And we will welcome your questions and maybe your own advice, too. What areas of your life are you trying to clean up? What small steps have you taken to detox your home or clear your body or save the earth? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are happy to welcome Sarah Gilbert. Her book is The Imperfect Environmentalist, a practical guide to clearing your body, detoxing your home, and saving the earth without losing your mind. Sarah, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I will first say that I was a big fan of Roseanne and your work on it. You were just fabulous. Were you a budding environmentalist back then?
Yeah, around 13, I started to get involved in animal rights issues and became a vegetarian at that time. So definitely started early.
Yeah, and are you still?
I'm vegan now, yeah.
Yeah. Well, why did you decide to put together the book?
I decided to put together the book because I didn't really feel like there was any book that I could find that was user-friendly for people that weren't committed to saving the environment, you know, 24 hours a day. And I just felt like I wanted to get all the information in one book that someone could need if they wanted to make small changes in their life. And they wanted to, you know, if they're painting their house and they want to look up how to do it, I wanted to have a book where somebody could have one sentence if they needed it. Just buy zero VOC paint, and then they go, okay, I know which paint to buy, and, you know, they go back to their lives.
What kind of paint did you say?
Zero VOC.
All right, what
VOCs
is that?
VOCs are like volatile organic compounds, and those basically are, you know, really toxic, and they off-gas for years after you paint. So it's not like just when you smell that new paint smell. It's actually in your home environment for years. So you want to buy zero VOC paint when you paint.
Well, what if I don't do that? Am I bad?
Well, it's not that you're bad. You know, if you don't do that, I bought a house that already had paint that was just low VOC, which is, you know, better than the regular stuff, but not ideal. You can buy HEPA filters that are designed specifically to kind of get those toxins out of the air.
Mm-hmm. So why do you say imperfection is all right?
Well, because I just think it's too much to do everything. It's not really possible to be the perfect environmentalist. I say unless you're like Ed Begley Jr., who's amazing. And, you know, so even for me, it's like there's areas that I'm good in and areas that I'm not so great in. And I try to get better at the areas that I can and then not sweat the stuff that isn't my strong suit. You know, I'm not great at gardening, and it's just never going to happen, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, I know that you laid the book out in a certain way so people can get as general or as specific as they want. Talk a little bit about what you did.
Yeah, I just, each chapter, each page, like, so there's one page per topic. So you're never going to get completely overwhelmed by what I'm giving you, but I started out in sections, and the first one is, you know, cut to the chase, hippie, what's the least I need to know? And then that's the part where that's designed for people like my mom, basically, who doesn't really want to read, like, about all the chemicals and all the stuff it leads to. And, you know, so that's the one-sentence version. Here's what to buy, here's what to avoid, here, you know, the simplest version. And then it goes on, okay, you know, intriguing, tell me a little more, and then I give you a little bit more, and then there's a facts to bore my friends with section. That's like a paragraph of really more of the details.
Well, you are a very busy person. You've got the new TV show. You've got you're a working mom. Have you had the time to put all of these things to the test?
No, you know, like I said, like it's definitely for me about imperfection. I'm also doing another TV show right now for CBS, so it's kind of like my schedule's insane. But I, you know, like I said, I'm really careful about, like, if I buy furniture, because furniture is a big source of, you know, pesticides in the cotton and flame retardants, which are particularly harmful. So that kind of stuff, or particle board in furniture, closets, things like that. So that's stuff I'm really careful with. I'm careful with paints. I'm careful with which solvents I use, which products I use in my house. You know, and then it comes to something like composting, and I haven't set that up yet. I don't have the time, and it's not, you know, like I said, gardening is not my thing. And so that's an area where I got to get better.
We are talking with Sarah Gilbert. She is the author of The Imperfect Environmentalist, A Practical Guide to Clearing Your Body, Detoxing Your Home, and Saving the Earth Without Losing Your Mind. And we welcome your questions for her about some of the things perhaps that you do to make a difference in your own health or the health of the planet. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, or you can tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, Sarah, I'll tell you one thing that I have done that I think makes a big difference, and I wonder if you agree. I am also a vegetarian. I'm not a vegan, but I'm a vegetarian. Mm-hmm. I've heard that that's probably one of the most important things you can do if you want to be friendly to the planet. What do you say?
Yeah, exactly, because there's just so much impact when you eat meat. It's, you know, not only the, you know, what you're doing to the cows, but livestock releases so much methane. It's like the biggest greenhouse gas producer, believe it or not. And so, and then there's also, because you're eating higher on the food chain, those cows are, or whatever animal it is you're eating, are eating so many plants, you know, that you're then affecting so much of the earth. They're eating so much more fuel that you could just be eating, and that also causes erosion.
Yeah.
So the dirt starts eroding, and there's also pesticides used and all of that. It's pretty, and then there's the transit from where it is to getting to your plate, and there's also the poor treatment of workers in slaughterhouses, you know, that's inhumane. So you're kind of getting it from all sides.
So if, though, somebody has not been able to make that step to become a vegan like you are, you're saying that do what you can, it's okay.
Yeah, I say, like, tell people to start with one day, you know, so, like, let's say, you know, I say, like, meatless Mondays or, you know, whatever, and you just, or start with one meal and until you start to get used to it. And if the environment's not a big motivator for you, you know, your personal health can be. There's a lot of studies showing that, you know, heart disease, diabetes, cancers are reduced with that kind of eating, so...
Yeah. Well, sometimes when I go shopping, I'll buy organic, but sometimes I won't. Are organic foods actually better for us than conventional foods? And
yeah,
go ahead.
They're definitely better. I mean, first of all, when you're eating food that's not organic, you're eating the pesticides off of it that are designed to kill the bugs and stuff. So, you know, those are carcinogens. We know those are terrible for us. We know that, especially in kids, they're going through puberty, you know, 5 years earlier than they were 100 years ago. And that's probably related to something in our environment, hormone disruptors from either plastics or pesticides, things like that. So we definitely want to keep our kids on organic as much as possible. Not only that, the insides of produce, even when you're not talking about the pesticides, have more nutrients and things that are organic. And then finally, if your food's organic, not going to be genetically modified. And, you know, we're just starting to learn about some of the effects of genetically modified food. We know that there's been some allergies related to them. And, you know, we can only imagine what those are going to lead to, but it's obviously not a natural way to eat. So I say, you know, whenever you can buy organic, do it. If you can't afford to do it, at least try to do it when you're buying things that have like a skin that you eat, like berries. things like berries or apples or things like that, when you're eating things with a bigger skin that you take off, like a banana, you're less at risk of obviously getting those pesticides in you.
Yeah, and what's the best way to clean non-organic fruits and veggies?
If you take baking soda and water and just like a nail brush, you can just make like a little paste with that and scrub them and then rinse them and dry them, and you'll get some of it off.
So what do you think about the drinking water that comes out of my tap?
Well, you can... I think it's the Environmental Working Group that has a website. You go in and you type in your zip code and you can find out what's in your water. I was living in a house and found all kinds of crazy heavy metals were in the water in my area. So I say whenever you can, you know, either put a filter on your home or get, you know, I get water from a company in glass bottles. So that's like, you know, they refill them. It's not like you toss them or whatever, and it's from like a natural spring. So, but I also have done a lot of research on the different types of filters. There's ionic filters and reverse osmosis filters. You know, I don't want to bore people too much, but you can kind of look them up and see what you respond to the most.
You're among friends here, Sarah. You can bore us.
Well, basically, like reverse osmosis filters, those get the most out of your water. So you're really filtering it down to, like, you know, everything, all the impurities out of it. But some people complain that it creates dead water because your water's supposed to have some minerals in it.
Yeah.
So some people remineralize their water. You know, then there's ionic filters that those are keeping some of the charge in your water, basically. But people say they don't get it as pure. So that you kind of got to choose between the two. You can also double up, and you can get a reverse osmosis system and then the ionic system that's putting minerals back in.
And why?
Now, but
why
some people say it's not natural to put the minerals back in that way, and so that's why sometimes people will just go with the spring water or something like that. But I say glass bottles because as soon as you're putting in plastic, you don't want that in your body.
That was my next goal. Why glass and not? I don't think you're a fan of plastic bottles.
Yeah, plastic is basically, you know, made from chemicals. There are certain plastics that are thought to probably be safer than others, but some have been linked to, you know, early puberty, potentially. You know, it's just, you just don't want the stuff in your system. It's really toxic. There's, you know, cancer is probably related to it. It's just, if you can avoid it, it's awesome. And so you want to get glass, like Tupperware, instead of using like plastic Tupperware kind of things, get glass containers.
We are talking with Sarah Gilbert. She is the author of The Imperfect Environmentalist, a practical guide to cleaning your body, detoxing your home, and saving the earth. And we welcome your questions for her. We welcome your own experiences. Are there certain steps that you have taken to try to detox your home, clear your body, and save the earth? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Or maybe you're conflicted or you have a dilemma over priorities when it comes to being green. We welcome your thoughts and questions for Sarah Gilbert, who is, of course, also an actress and co-host of CBS's The Talk. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Ideas Network. You're listening to The Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Sarah Gilbert, who is the author of The Imperfect Environmentalist, a practical guide to clearing your body, detoxing your home, and saving the earth without losing your mind. And we have many callers, so we will go right to the phones. And Monica in Greenfield is with us first. Hi, Monica.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Shortly after I got married, I used to rinse with cold water the few plastic bags that I just, like, you know, with the zipper bags that I used to use. And my husband was like, oh, no, I can't live like that with plastic bags drying out by the sink. But I convinced him that we could use the dish water to water our plants. So I grow tomatoes on my deck and peppers and a lot of different vegetables, and I water them with the dish water. So I'm not using clean water to water my plants. And I also subscribe to TerraCycle. I heard about them with you guys in National Public Radio, and I ship my garbage to them. My bottles for shampoo and things like that. They pay for the postage, and they use them to make dog balls. They upcycle so much stuff. It is just wonderful, and it is what I can do and continue living my regular life.
Monica, I have not heard of this this group. That's interesting. So it TerraCycle, did you say its name was?
Terra, T-E-R-R-A, Cycle. Mm-hmm. And it was on one of one of the afternoon 3 o'clock with, I can't remember her name. She's
that's okay. That's okay. Yeah, Jean Ferraca. Yeah. That's
yes, Jean Ferraca. Yes, mm-hmm. Thank you. She had that show about 2 years ago.
Well, that's a wonderful thing to do. So she's sending her plastic shampoo bottles to a group that apparently is doing good by recycling it. Nice idea.
That's great. Yeah, there's a lot of companies that do stuff like that. And then, you know, the one thing I want to say about the plastic bags is you just don't want to be reusing, if you have to use plastic, you don't want to be reusing disposable plastic because it starts to break down over time and leach into the things that it holds.
Yeah, and it's a good idea to not waste water and use dishwater for gardening and growing your own food is a great thing to do for your body and for the environment. But Sarah, you say you're not a gardener, you haven't got into the composting,
Well, I mean, I garden with my kids a little bit. Like mm-hmm. we planted some stuff to make salsa because they wanted to do that, but you know, it's like, it's overgrown, and I'm not that good about it. Then they start to die. You know, I'm just like, I really don't have a green thumb.
But talk a little bit about that. How you don't, you know, stress out or guilt out if there's a certain thing that maybe you should be doing, but you don't have time to do.
Right. Well, I just feel like no one's perfect, and you know, if we're not doing that, we're going to a farmer's market, or I'm buying organic produce at, you know, the market. So I'm doing the best I can in another way, and I think that's just kind of like life. You can't beat yourself up about not being perfect. You got to just be who you are and be the best version of that.
Thanks again, Monica, for the call. Christine in Appleton is with us now. Hi, Christine.
Hi. I'm a first-time caller, so I'm kind of excited.
Oh, I'm glad you called.
Yes. So I have a specific question, and maybe your guest, and I, by the way, can't wait to read the book. I'm hoping that your guest can kind of take this in whatever direction she will, but we are pretty big supporters of eating organic food when we can and doing lots of things to help the environment. But, you know, within the past several years, as more studies come out, I'm wondering how Sarah would respond to when, I guess, non-organic food eaters cite studies that show that maybe there's really not a difference between eating organic food and food that's grown with, you know, I guess, pesticides and things like that. That's my question, because I've heard a lot about, you know, studies, but I'm not able to cite any. But how would she respond to that? And, you know, like I said, we're supporters of eating organic. But when I hear things like that, I think, oh, are there really not any studies that show that there's, you know, that there really is a difference? So I'm hoping she
Well, I would say, first of all, thank you so much for calling and for your interest. I would say, you know, there's a lot of studies funded by really big companies, and you have to remember that the companies that are growing food that is not organic are really big companies. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those studies, but you just don't know. And secondly, it's really difficult to isolate one factor. You know, how do they know that that is the thing that's determining in those groups whether someone is staying healthy or not? Like, any study related to diet is really difficult. But I would question those studies, because there's plenty of evidence showing that pesticides are carcinogens. So I don't really know how that's possible. And the other thing is, you know, we're finding chemicals from our environment, from pesticides, in children, in newborns, and even in umbilical cords. So we're finding all these chemicals. There's just no way that it's not related to all the increase in diseases. And, you know, like I said, there's studies to the contrary.
Thanks very much, Christine, for the call. Since we're talking a little bit about health and food. What should we pack in our herbal first aid kit?
Well, this is one where I have to, like, look it up, where I don't have it all committed to memory, but there's, like, you know, aloe vera is great for burns and scrapes. There's lavender. Ginger is good for stomach troubles.
But the point of that is that you can have foods and herbs and natural things that can be used to for our health rather than I guess a prescription or over the counter drugs.
Exactly, and then another thing that's great, it's not that you ingest, but I like for bug killer using, you know, mint oils and things like that. Not bug killers, pardon me, but like keeping them out of the house. So if you put it, you know, around the edges of doors and stuff like that, it's a deterrent.
Let's go next to Jill in Rhinelander. Hello, Jill.
Oh, good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I just had a question regarding cottonseed oil. I heard years ago cottonseed was something you should avoid since cotton is not considered a food crop, and there are all kinds of chemicals that can be used on cotton that can't be used on food, and that ends up in the seed and then in the oil. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, cotton is like one of the biggest users of pesticides. So I would say that would definitely be true, and I would avoid it.
Yeah, what oils are good?
I like organic olive oil. I think that, you know, that's got the best health benefits, and then sesame oil. Mm-hmm. And then you just want to make sure, like, if you're frying something or sautéing it, to use like a higher heat oil if you're turning the heat up really high, because some oils can be more toxic if they're not meant to be used at high heat. So like a safflower oil or something is a high heat oil.
So you don't want to perhaps buy the cottonseed oil, but you want to buy cotton for clothing, right?
Yeah, it's just you want to buy organic when you can. So it's like, yes, you want to buy cotton. And the thing is, people think it's too expensive. Even, you know, chains like Target and stuff are having organic clothes now and things. And what I say, too, is, like, I don't dress in organic clothes 24 hours a day. But what you can do is, especially for your kids, buy a couple sets of organic pajamas, if that's all you're going to do. And you can get them an organic mattress, or if you can't afford that, they make covers for mattresses. Like, I think the company store makes one that you can zip the mattresses in, and that way you're not getting all the off-gassing of all the flame retardants on that. And then you're creating a sleep environment. So that's, you know, for kids, that's 11, 12 hours a day that they're then in a non-toxic environment.
Robin on Facebook writes, it's hard and it is a lot of sacrifice, talking about being an environmentalist, trying to be green. Also, she writes, it is hard to be part of the mainstream workforce and be green. Clothing, cleaning, driving, cell phones. So there's a lot of stuff to juggle. And I guess you're talking to Robin, aren't you, Sarah?
I totally agree. I mean, I face the same difficulties. Sometimes I get frustrated. I'm at work and I know they're cleaning the dressing rooms, you know, with like all kind of stuff. And so then I just talk to the cleaning staff and say, hey, can you guys, you know, clean with water? And then I can bring some stuff in to clean, you know, when it needs something else. And then, you know, or kids' schools. I'm, you know, I talked to them about food and they were like really amazing at greening up the snacks a little bit. And then now this year I'm talking to them about cleaning supplies. And it's like, as soon as you start talking to people, they really are more open. You just have to present them with realistic options, things that don't cost a lot of money, ways that they can incorporate it and start changing things. People are interested and want to be healthier.
We're talking with Sarah Gilbert. She is an actress. She is the co-host of CBS's The Talk, and she is the author of The Imperfect Environmentalist, a practical guide to clearing your body, detoxing your home, and saving the earth without losing your mind. Talking about how going green can be an overwhelming task when you consider all the possible threats to your health and to the environment. Talking with Sarah about some small steps that you can take to green up your life and to help your health and the health of the earth. 1-800-642-1234. If you have an example or a question, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our next caller is Phil in Mount Horeb. Hi, Phil.
Hi. Thank you for this show, and I'm pleased to say that I was surprised how credible and authoritative your guest is. I was impressed by that. I wanted to just mention that we've been talking about the micro changes that people can make in their lives to improve the environment, food and water use, things like that. I'm thinking of some of the strategic, the majors, like population growth. We know that at the level of consumption and pollution that we're currently putting into the earth, that's unsustainable. So choosing a smaller family, I think, is one thing that people can really make a huge impact on. The other is energy use. Just buying a car that gets 45 miles per gallon or more over the lifetime of the use of the car is going to have a huge impact on your personal energy use. So I would offer those two things.
And what would you say to that, Sarah?
I completely agree. I mean, look, people, we are living in a planet with limited resources, and people always forget that. And even now, you know, people are dying because of how big the population is. It's just that, and I even talk about in the book, when you can adopt, do that. When you, whatever you can do to help with the bigger issues is great. You know, I mean, overpopulation leads to crime and poverty, and there's limited fossil fuels. And it's compared to, you know, 13, 14 years ago, there's a billion more people on this planet. So it's really something that we've got to consider. And, you know, energy use is at the heart of the environmental issue. If you can start changing your light bulbs, change your car, you know, watch what you consume, how far you drive, start walking more. I mean, I cover all that in the book, but that definitely, you know, cleans up the earth and helps preserve our resources.
Yeah, you do have a section on parenting, and you talk about how, you know, how expensive parenting can be. Every product is disposable, if not grown out of, in just a few months. How do you recommend parents are more conservative?
Well, you know, I talk about, I had a friend one time who came home from the hospital with her baby, just with, you know, diapers and a couple onesies, and that's it. And I was like, it made me realize, like, oh, that is all you really need. You know, like, obviously if you're co-sleeping with your baby, you've got to do it safely, but there's a lot of studies that it actually can be safer if it's done safely because of the way the baby sleeps, and there can be lower risk of SIDS and stuff like that if it's done properly. So, you know, when you break it down, you just don't need all of the pacifiers and all of the bouncy seats and everything like that. If you just get an organic sling and, you know, wrap that baby to you and nurse it when it needs and change its diaper, you know, that's all babies need. And we've been taught to think that they need 40 different gadgets.
And you go not only, you go from birth to death, and they actually talk about green burials. Talk some about that.
Yeah, because there's, you know, the stuff that they're putting in you to preserve you when you die, you don't really need. It's basically your body's going to decompose anyway. So when they're putting that stuff in your body, that eventually ends up in the earth. But there's actually green cemeteries that are conscious of that stuff, and they have ways that they, you know, I mean, it's kind of like morbid, but they can have you in like just a pine box, or they can wrap you in these eco fabrics that are not impacting the earth in a negative way. Or there's also, if you're getting cremated, there's ways to do it that, you know, aren't burning off things that are as bad for the environment. So there's places that are good about that too.
We are talking about going green and talking about how we can We can take some small steps that make a big difference, talking with Sarah Gilbert, who is the author of The Imperfect Environmentalist. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking with Sarah Gilbert about her book, The Imperfect Environmentalist, a practical guide to clearing your body, detoxing your home, and saving the earth without losing your mind. And our next caller is Linda in Door County. Hi, Linda. You're on the air.
Good morning, and thank you for having this program. In Door County, we were having a problem not having enough selection in organics, so we started a buying club. United Natural Foods Incorporated is the largest distributor of natural products in the United States. You go online at UNFI. Other people can try and put together a buying club where you order online once a month, and then you pick up once a month. And what we've done is some families can't make the pickup, so other people who are more able to can help them out in that way. Just another
way
to get great products, as well as great cotton clothing from Maggie's.
Yeah, I was going to say, Linda, what other kinds of products are you getting?
Oh, nothing fresh, but everything frozen, groceries, bulk. I buy many things in bulk because beans, rice, and you have less packaging. You buy a good 5-gallon container, and you can store those things very well. You can also get all your vitamin needs. I use, for instance, the household Dr. Bronner's, not the stuff you take to your shower in lavender. And I buy it by the gallon, which lasts about a year. I use it like 1-to-5 ratio for my dishwashing. I sometimes use it to wash my clothes. I can use it to wash my household. It's just a fantastic product. And, you know, when you think of buying your little dishwashing soap for $4 or $5, I buy this for about $32 or $33. And that gallon lasts about a year or more.
Good idea,
that's
Sarah.
Awesome.
Yeah, that is a good idea, Linda. Thanks for sharing that. We'll go.
I had actually there was a farm in, you know, nearby that would deliver produce. I'd have that delivered once a month, organic produce, and that's a great way to get a local farm, you know, to help support them and then get your organic produce. And then, of course, if you can't do that, the thing that you found sounds great.
Yeah, and community-supported agriculture, that's big around Wisconsin, too. So that's another one of the options you have. Again, I keep on going back to you saying that you're not a big gardener. You can still take the step of ordering your food through a local farmer or going to a farmer's market.
And some places have, I think it's like in Portland, Oregon, Farm My Yard. I think it's extended to other places, but you can, somebody will, if you have any grass to spare, they come and they will plant things and use your land, and then you get some of the crops, basically, and then they take some of the crops.
So, Sarah, tell us another area where you're trying, but you're not perfect.
Let's see. Another area where I'm trying, but I'm not perfect.
Oh, you're perfect, aren't you? Just about.
No, I'm definitely not. I'm trying to think about, like I said, you know, I'm not wearing, organic clothes all day. With my kids, for example, if they want a toy that's, a stuffed animal that I know is, probably got, you know, pesticides, flame retardants, stain protectors, things like that on it, and I know it's something they really want, sometimes I'll let them have it, or it's plastic or whatever, but then let's say they want to sleep with it at night, I'll say, okay, let's move it to the bottom of your bed so that you're not breathing in those fumes all day long, you know, all night long. So it's kind of like, you know, especially with them, trying to not torture them too much, but keep them healthy.
Well, here's one area where I'm not perfect, and I wonder how you handle this as somebody who has to wear makeup, I presume, on, you know, when you're acting or on your talk show. I will use, and you're going to yell at me, I think, these anti-wrinkle creams, but I hear they're really not very good for me, are they?
Yeah, well, it depends what you're using, but yeah, most products are really not good for you, and you can the Environmental Working Group has a section on their website called Skin Deep where you can type in products, mm-hmm. and they've got a big database of products, and they'll tell you what your risks are, how dangerous. If it doesn't have the product, you can type in individual ingredients, and it will kind of talk to you about that. But, yeah, whenever you can clean up your moisturizers, I mean, I use really natural stuff that's awesome. I mean, that's an area that I'm pretty good in at work. I have them use non-toxic stuff. Look, I'm not perfect in any area when I think about it. Like, once in a while, I'll go to a different show, and there's a new makeup artist, and I'll just use whatever they have there, you know? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I'm vegan and have been for years, but, you know, I'll buy leather shoes or a leather jacket, you know, maybe not often, but, mm-hmm. you know, once, twice a year, something like that. So I'm having a much lower impact, but it's not perfectly humane and it's not the thing I'm the proudest of. And, you know, that's where I'm at right now.
You're right that we should be worried about certain shades of lipstick?
Well, there's been lead found in a lot of lipsticks. Like, I think it was either like 40 to 60%, something like that. And, you know, lead's not safe at any level. So you want to stick with brands that I know are safe. Like Hourglass is one that's safe. Tarte is another one that's safe. I list a few more in the book. And you can just do research too online and type in, you know, eco makeup or green makeup, and then you want to just cross-check it with that website I was talking about, because there is like a lot of greenwashing where companies will say that something is safe and then it ends up not being that safe.
Ray in Milwaukee is with us now. Hello, Ray.
I want to talk about recycling, but I have a quick, simple idea for anybody who wants to instantly reduce their carbon footprint. Do not take trips in airplanes. They are probably the number one waste of fuel. You know, to move my body from Milwaukee to New York is, what, 500 to 1,000 gallons of jet fuel? I mean, please, get out of the airplanes. That's number one. Number two is get out of your car. But I want to talk about this myth about recycling. Recycling in this country, a lot of it is going to China and Taiwan, where they do not recycle responsibly. They burn off the coating of wires, household wires, to get to the copper underneath, thereby putting all this toxin into the air in Taiwan. And in China, they're doing recycling of car batteries, and they do it the most insane way. And here in our country, with plastics, to move around your recycled plastics, they use trucks that run on diesel.
Yeah, and Ray, I'm really glad you called, but this is the thing that really helps, it really stresses people out, guilts people out, because, Sarah, I mean, you think you're doing the right thing, and then maybe you're not.
Yeah, look, there are companies that recycle responsibly, and there's people that upcycle, but whenever you can, if you can use reusable containers and buy in bulk, you're always going to be doing better. So this is one of those situations, and I've heard about that recycling of car batteries in China. I mean, it's really, really awful. But there are companies like, I use a toothbrush, Preserve, and they recycle yogurt cups and make these toothbrushes. And then when you're done with your toothbrush, you can actually send it back to them and they'll recycle again. So, you know, yes, there are good versions and yes, there are bad versions. So you aren't going to do that perfectly. But again, if you can buy glass and buy things in bulk, make your own cleaning products, not use disposables as much as possible. He's right. It's better.
Yeah. So what about getting on an airplane?
Well, that is true, that mm-hmm. airplanes are major consumers of fuel and that it's not a very green way to travel. And obviously, if you've got to make it from Los Angeles to New York for a work trip and you have no choice, then, you know, you have no choice. But he's right. If there's something where you can jump in the car and it takes you, you know, 4 hours to drive there, 5 hours to drive there, you're better off anyway and you're going to save time. And then, you know, ultimately, if you can avoid some unnecessary trips, even better. If you're planning a wedding and you can do it in town, even better rather than the place where everybody's got to travel to.
Ray, thanks again for the call. You know, you were talking about your toothbrush. I wanted to talk about that, too. You also say that our toothpaste could be harming us. What's that all about?
Yeah, there's a lot of chemicals in toothpaste and things that can be carcinogens. There's things that also, in combined with other products that we use, can be carcinogens. So you want to look for really green toothpastes that are, you know, sodium lauryl sulfate free. That I don't like fluoride. There's not a lot of evidence that fluoride is that effective in reducing cavities, and it's also been shown to be neurotoxin. So I just say, look, and also a lot of places have fluoride in the water in their state, so you're already getting fluoride. So I just say look for brands that are, you know, free of all that stuff. I use Nature's Gate, which is a great brand.
And you say you have a toothbrush made out of some kind of recycled product. Why should we care what our toothbrush is made out of?
Well, because plastics can have BPAs in them that are hormone disruptors, can cause liver kidney damage. They can have PVC in them that's really toxic. So you just don't want to be putting that in your mouth every day.
We are talking with Sarah Gilbert. She is the author of The Imperfect Environmentalist, a practical guide to clearing your body, detoxing your home, and saving the earth without losing your mind. So what are some things that you have done or some things that you have questions about regarding detoxing your home and being more earth-friendly? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our next caller is Katie in Darlington. Hi, Katie.
Good morning.
Morning.
My question is, I'm actually a herd manager on a dairy farm, and for me, I've been around agriculture for about 20 years of my life, and I'll be honest, you know, we do use antibiotics on our farm, and I do have a reason behind it, and cattle health is very important to me, and as long as, and my health as well, too, but I guess my question is, some instances, for example, if a cow has pneumonia, I do use antibiotics to help treat that because I'm not quite sure if there's a way to, if we don't use antibiotics, I don't think that there's a way to be able to take care of that animal humanely, and you might watch them suffer by not using antibiotics. So with my question related to that is, what do you think we should do in those instances then when, if we're not using antibiotics, how are we supposed to treat the cattle humanely?
Right. Well, I mean, that's really a question for your vet. Like, the thing is, we know that when we're giving these animals antibiotics, they're ending up in the milk and they're ending up in our systems and the kids' systems and stuff. And that's why I avoid animal products and dairy in general. But, you know, in terms of finding an alternative, that's really, it sounds like you guys are pretty humane and conscientious and probably not overusing them. But, you know, that would be a question for your vet, if there's an alternative or how far you can go or if there's a way to keep the cattle in ways that are not close quarters, that maybe they don't spread infections as easily. You know, but again, that's more of like a vet or a healthcare professional.
Yeah, Katie, thanks for the call. We'll go now to Tim in Hancock. Hi, Tim.
Hi, I had a question for Sarah regarding advice for low-income people and observing respect for the environment and for ourselves based on a low income. For example...
Go ahead, sorry.
Okay, but for example, taking...
Yeah, I'm sorry, Tim, because we're almost out of time. Like access to organic food is one example. Somebody low income may not be able to buy all organic.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad that he called because in my book, I break down sections and I talk about what you can do on a lower income. And the truth is most green things actually save you money. For example, if you're turning off lights that you're not using or you're turning off the water while your kids brush their teeth, you know, or you're turning down your thermostat so that you're not blasting, you know, either hot air or cold air, you know, whatever. All these things are saving you money. When it comes to organic produce, there's nothing cheaper than buying a $1 bag of seeds and growing your own produce. I mean, that's going to save you money. And anytime you're growing your own food that's organic, it's going to pay off and be organic. If you're making your own cleansers, that's green. I mean, if you're buying a car that gets better gas mileage, it may be a larger investment up front, but you're going to save money in the long run. I mean, there's literally almost nothing that you can't do on a budget that will actually save you money by being green.
All right, Tim.
And, you know, recycling, going to thrift shops is green. Reusing things, it is inherently money saving to be green.
Well, is the if someone wants to start small, living in trying to be a better environmentalist, where do you recommend they begin?
I recommend they begin at home. You know, the EPA ranks indoor air quality as one of the top five health risks. So I say let's clean up the space that we're living in, that our kids are living in. Watch out for, you know, like I said, what furniture you're buying, what paints you're buying, especially what cleansers you're using, what products you're using on them.
Yep. And did I read that you're getting married soon?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on that. So has
Thank you. Has
writing this book overwhelmed you, causing you to think about all these dangers in our environment?
You know, it makes you think about it, and then you get guilt, like, when you're not doing this thing. And then, you know, it's like I said, it's like, okay, trying to just take that in. Don't feel guilty. What can I do? What can I do today that makes a small difference? And then you start to feel really good about the changes you're making. One thing I was so happy about is that, you know, my mom just switched all of her plastic containers over to glass. And it wasn't such a big deal. She just called, ordered it, and that's it. Switched them over, and it's little things like that that can, you know, make you feel stressed, and then it really ends up not being that big of a deal. And I tell people, if you can't afford that, you know, use your bowls instead of using plasticware, and then just put saran wrap over the top that's not touching your food, so at least your food is sitting not in plastic in the refrigerator.
I guess I should have asked you this when I asked about your upcoming nuptials. Are you doing anything special to keep your wedding green, or is this a case where you might be imperfect?
Well, I'm definitely going to try to keep it green. I haven't started planning yet because I have too many jobs, I guess. But yeah, that's definitely something. And I talk about green weddings in the book, that, you know, by keeping it local, like I mentioned, if you have family style food, things like that, rather than serving each person where, you know, there ends up being a lot of waste. If you, I can't remember if it's in the wedding section, but talking about, you know, getting kegs and things like that instead of individually packaged alcohol, if you're having beer there, local breweries, organic, things like that.
Oh, that Wisconsin likes that idea. Thanks very much, Sarah, for being with us.
Thank you.
Sarah Gilbert is the co-host of CBS's The Talk. She's an actress. You probably remember her as Darlene, the daughter of Roseanne on the Roseanne TV show. And she is the author of The Imperfect Environmentalist, a practical guide to clearing your body, detoxing your home, and saving the earth without losing your mind. Thanks to Christy Taylor and to Cynthia Schuster for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I also hope you will join me tomorrow at this time. We will be talking with Representative Luis Gutierrez, who is the author of The Dream Act. He's written a new memoir that's coming up tomorrow here on the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.